How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing well. What are you drinking over there, David J?
Canada Dry. I try to get them as a sponsor, but on a, like country time, you just can't get these people on the phone.
It's difficult. And you, sir, Mr. Showerhead, it looks
Power,
like
Powerade.
Oh, Powerade. Okay, very good. You know, got to keep the body full of electrolytes. Very good. I'll be enjoying the standard country time pink. No thanks to the hashtag. Where's my fucking sponsorship money? Countrytime.com. One day, boys, they'll see what they missed out on.
They sure will. They'll come. And you know what? Maybe we won't want them then, you know?
You know, by that point, I'll be fishing for sponsorship dollars from Metamucil.
let's talk about some metallic riffs.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
metallic riffs.
I think I know where he's headed. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about it. Let's go.
Hey, it's Shit Talk Reviews. Thanks for joining us. You know, if you're here, you know why you're here. And if you don't know why you're here, well, maybe we get lucky and you stick around.
Thank you to the 700 people that came and watched us and told us that we're cornholes, dickheads, or the Judas Priest.
Yeah, some nice review criticism that
we
did.
There's some good criticism. We like criticism. It means people are listening. Sure. So, but yeah, you know, I've got nipples. They have nipples. We all have nipples.
Everybody's got nipples.
That's right. So
most anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are we talking about this week? I'm excited. This is a great record. Derek, what do we got?
Yeah. So we are in the process of talking about Enterprise Earth. And I'm pretty happy with the album. The album is entitled Death in Anthology. And I found these guys originally, and I thought that it sounded like something right up your alley, John, being a Meshuggah fan and all. And I thought, in the end of the day, I thought that they were the perfect collision of death metal and djent. And as such, we are now talking about it.
Yeah, right. You weren't wrong. I love these guys, man. They are progressive. They are heavy. They can be super, super, super filthy. And yeah. And can clean it up and go really really crystal with their stuff too. I like this record. I like their other stuff too. I'm familiar with them for a long time, but this is probably the deepest dive into them as a band that I've done. And I like the record. There's a lot of talk. People think it's a little kind of all over the place, but not unlike the last two records that we talked about, Invincible Shield by Priest and Hopium for the Masses by Ministry. You know, I think they named this album right, you know, and anthology. I think this album for them is kind of the sum total of all the styles that they're all into and that they're influenced by and what they were feeling at the time that they were writing it.
Right.
So I don't mind that it bounces around a little bit, because I think it bounces around between subgenres. It's not like it's country music on one track and swing dance music on the next. So that kind of genre hopping a little bit, it doesn't bother me. I used to be really anal about that kind of stuff, but not nearly as much anymore. I guess I'm just getting old.
Yeah. I echo what John said. And I also would like to say that I'm not a huge fan, as some of you know, of the growling and that type of music or sound. But I've come to learn from this podcast that if you could sometimes just tune that out and just listen to the music itself, I found that, especially on this album, I was able to do that. And at times I did like the vocals, sometimes I didn't. But if you tune it out and just listen to the band itself, the fucking band's incredible. And I want to give a shout out before we go on to Derek. Gabe Mangold, the guitar player in this band, my God, my friend, you can fucking rip. So hats off to him.
You know? Well, good tee up. Gabe Mangold is the guitarist, backing vocals. He also did a lot of production on this record. Brandon Zaki is the drummer. Travis Warlin, vocals. You know, he's a beast, and he got to share, you know, some spit with some other evil fuckers on this record. And Dakota Johnson's bass and backing vocals as well. you know, Darius Tahirani from Spite visited. Ben Dwyer from Shadow of Intent, Wes Hauk from Alluvio, yeah. Your boy, John, and Matthew Heafy from Trivium. And everybody knows who Trivium is. You know, all came in and offered their expertise, and it's a record. First track that came to mind for me was Face of Fear. Those epic finger tapping solos from Mr. Mangold. Holy shit. Perfect collision of djent and death metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. He is a monster guitar player. They're all super, super talented guys. Gabe and Brandon really stand out here. I mean, they all do. Wow, what track is it? We'll get into it a little later, but Accelerated Demise has some killer bass breaks, as well as some killer drum breaks. So it's nice to hear Dakota get to kind of step out a little bit and, you know, put his stuff on display. But holy shit, these guys are such talented, you know, performers and players and singers. Great, great fucking band.
The Accelerated Demise, John, had it was more too almost like an instrumental, if I remember two cracks on that, which was a kind of a treat when you're listening to this album. You didn't really expect that, so that was pretty awesome.
I don't know if you caught this, Dave, but Brandon threw a little nod to your boy Eddie Van Halen on there. Did you catch that?
I did not.
I've got to throw a quick ninja edit in here. Apologies, it was not Brandon that threw that nod to Eddie Van Halen. It was Gabe.
Yeah, you'll have to go back and listen. It's right at the tail end of the song, right at the very, very end of the song.
Okay, okay.
He throws in maybe a second and a half from Eruption. As soon as I heard that, I went, oh,
okay, no shit. Okay, I would definitely go back. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
On second thought, I don't know if that was a nod or not, or if I manufactured that in my own head. So I pay no attention to anything I'm saying. Pay no attention to anything any of us are saying.
Great, great players, though. Holy shit. A lot of talent in this band.
Yeah. For me, Spineless was unbelievable. I don't know who this song is directed to, but there is angst, hate, and man, it's the... It just was unbelievable. It had piano in it. I mean, it was dramatic. Nasty solos. I love the ice. Some of those isolated drums on some of this song. And the lyrics, man, were just so badass because he's directing this to some sort of a leader, somebody who him or maybe personally and somebody had backed up and supported, and that person didn't see it and really screwed them in the end. So it's really, really powerful shit.
The Reaper's servant, Darius Tahirani, and Warland trading off Spitting Venom. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a note here. I just listened to Dolly Parton and Rob Halford do a song together. This is about as far of that duet as you can get. It's just evil soundscapes. Mangold solos are just mind boggling on that. And, you know, there's even a kind of a thrashy part in the middle, the later part of the track that I love. I mean, I was in the car and, you know, the speed limit in Florida is 70 and I was going 90.
You were going faster.
That song reminded me of a mosh pit just breaking out into full eruption. You know, I could see that song was great for a mosh pit. So it's a killer song.
Crushing Bones, man. That's a bone crusher, that track.
Yeah, super chuggy breakdowns and the very, very shreddy guitar in this. You know, like we said, I think we all kind of agreed that, you know, this album is an amalgamation of a lot of different influences for these guys. And there really is. There's something for everybody on this record. Yeah. You know, if you like thrashy stuff, it's there. If you like just more straight ahead metal stuff, it's there. If you like, you know, genty progressive stuff, there's a lot of it there. A lot of progressive stuff.
There were some surprises because the Casket of Rust, I mean, man, the guitar was killer in that song. The opening was almost like a dramatic movie. It had a little bit of Iron Maiden.
Sounded like power metal.
Yes, exactly.
Very power metal.
To me, that was like a nice, it was nice little tree. I was not expecting that. Yeah.
You, Derek, you looked like you disagreed to the thrashy quotient on the album.
No, I was actually, what I was going to say was, I saw Ariana Grande on Saturday Night Live this weekend. And if people like Ariana Grande, they will hate this record.
Yeah, of course.
That's true.
Yeah.
So there's not something for everybody. That
fair, fair. If you like the if you like the heavy stuff, you'll probably find something.
Having a 12-year-old daughter, you know, and Ariana Grande, you know, they go hand in hand. So you know, you participate. But I'm pretty confident that my daughter would not enjoy Enterprise Earth at all, not at all.
I can tell you, my wife does not enjoy them, and you know, she's fairly open minded when it comes to music. But this is a bit much for her. So you're right. Maybe not something for everyone, italicized and bolded.
A quick question for Derek. I don't know how much, John, you follow these guys, but their first album came out in 2015. So they've put out several albums. So I'm just curious, are they gaining a following as they go? So is this like the big, big breakout album for these guys? You know, where are they headed?
I've known about them, but I never took them seriously until I heard this. When I heard King of Ruination, I think I had, John, we were sitting in the office and I played it. And you're like, yeah. And I continued to pay attention to the releases, and finally it was just like, this thing, you know, from front to back is just a solid record. It's a, and it's everything that, I think that stuff that you're getting into, Dave, more so. As the time has gone on, there's a lot to eat there for John, and there's a lot to eat there for me that we can all agree on, and we can all feast on this record. And it was, and I thought that we would agree on it. So,
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah,
Dave, you know, you mentioned a number of albums since 2015. Yeah. I think the first two were a little more focused. The first two albums, a little more straight ahead. I don't know. Again, I'm terrible with the subgenres, but deathcore. And then they started kind of weaving different flavors into the to the other albums. It might bear mentioning that at this point, none of the original members are in the band.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, you know, they've had turnover over the years. There are people, in reading about them over the last week, there are some people that and the same could be said for other bands too, not just Enterprise Earth, who don't have any of their original members, who say like, "Well, it's no fair for you to maintain that band name anymore because it's no longer the band." And I suppose there's something to be said for that. On the other hand, if the splits were amicable and so on, and there was enough crossover between members, you know, it is still the band, I guess. But I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
That's very interesting. I didn't know any of that, John. Really,
let's say
your homework. Your homework.
Well, it puts a perspective into what he's saying. It's a hard thing.
So, what tell me what you guys think? Say a band, Van Halen. Say, you know, a couple of years in, they swap a guy or two out. Then a couple of years later, there's another change. A couple of years later, there's another change. And 15 years down the road, or whatever, now there's no longer any founding members of Van Halen in the band. Are they still Van Halen at that point?
It's a cover band at that point.
So would, by that definition, you would say Enterprise Earth is a cover band? A cover band who's writing new material?
Yes. I mean, if there's no original guys in it, how can it? It's just not true to it. It doesn't make sense.
Derek, what do you think?
It's a cover band to me.
I look at it from a marketing standpoint, and that's who, you know, my foundation. And if you have a brand with a following and there are a continuation of the band, like Kiss is going to continue even though the other members are gone. They're going to have a digital version. I can guarantee you there'll be a form of Kiss that'll come back. Pantera's back with half the members, you know. And I'm fine with it. You know, the Pantera still sounds like Pantera. Phil and Rex are the original members that are still in the band, but you know, Zach and Charlie are, you know, they sound like Dime. You know, they sound like Vinnie Paul. They have done their homework to make themselves sound exactly like the two members that have passed away. So I think if you have a brand and there's a following and a demand, it should continue well past when the original band members are gone, whether it's death or retirement or, you know, falling apart, you know, emotionally or not getting along anymore. If there's a demand and people will go see them play, continue on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I used to be a little more aligned with what Dave said, that, oh, well, it's not really the band anymore.
Right.
And I guess I understand that school of thought. I don't know that I subscribe to it as much anymore, because my way of listening to music has changed over the years. And if I like what I'm hearing, do I need to go super deep into, you know, the history? I mean, you can, and I could probably find great stuff about any band in that regard. But if I like what a band is doing right now and putting out, whether it's the original members or not, I still like it. I don't think I'm going to not like it because it's not the original guys.
Okay.
I do think that you can be critical. Like, Anthrax has missed Dan Spitz. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, he left after Persistence of Time, and they just haven't been the same band since. He had his solos were just the chemistry with the rest of the band. It was different after he left. And I'm not saying that what happened after Dan left Anthrax wasn't good. It's okay, but something left with him.
Yeah.
Right.
I have to make a change. Dan Spitz was with the band through 2005, Alive 2 and Sound of White Noise.
Oh, okay.
So I stand corrected on that.
Gotcha.
So I suck.
hey, you caught it.
I caught it. I need to do my research, but I just wanted to make sure that I was clear. But you know, Sound of White Noise is a great record too. But you know, John Bush is singing and Joey Belladonna's not. And you know, again, chemistry had changed quite a bit from Sound of White Noise into Alive too. So look, you know, there, I think that these things can continue on. You know, I think a lot of times when you're a famous band and you've got a famous singer, Metallica, James Hetfield, you replace him with, you know, John Bush. It's going to be a completely different band. That's not a shot at John Bush. If you replace Pantera, you know, you remove Phil Anselmo and you put in John, you know, it's, yeah, probably not going to be the same. Right. If Van Halen, you know, had Dave singing in it, probably not Van Halen anymore. So I think singers a lot of times are kind of like the, you know, the flag bearer, if you will. Mm-hmm. And sure. You change the singers, it's all of a sudden not the same. I mean, the Misfits,
right,
you know, when Glenn Danzig left the Misfits, they continued on. Was it the same without Glenn? No. Was it fun? Heck yeah. Every day's Halloween with the Misfits. Jerry only did the best he could to patch together. But when Glenn's together, there's, you know, with them, there's a reason why they're the Misfits and the reason why they're still headlining festivals and they're paying them a lot of money to see them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, to bring this all back around to Enterprise Earth.
Yes.
I'm okay with them not having any of the founding members and still, you know, carrying the Enterprise Earth flag. And you know, hey, one man's opinion. I'm sure there are others that disagree, and that's fine.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It's a great record through and through, and you can't deny it, no matter who the band members are. And you know, and those who are gonna gripe about it, well, go ahead, you know, gripe on social media, do whatever you're gonna do. Don't listen, whatever your hair across your ass may be, but it's a great record.
Can I just say something? I know we said standout.
I'm sorry, track. Dave. We're running short on time. But thanks for what's
that? I know we said standout tracks, but I just wanted to make mine known. Spineless, I loved it. The Reaper's Servant and Accelerated Demise were my top three.
Yeah, mine are Accelerated Demise. I love it. Gabe's lead is fiery. Killer drum breaks, bass breaks, as we were saying. Casket of Rust, I really liked. that acoustic guitar intro. I figured it was right up Derek's alley.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice. Theatric and progressive writing in there. I love the very end of that song, like the strings end. It like resolves on it on a very like major uplifting kind of thing. It's really short and brief, but I thought, wow, it's an interesting choice. I really like that. And a King of Ruination.
Nice.
Those are my three standouts. Derek.
Face of Fear, The Reaper's Servant, King of Ruination, Casket of Rust, Malevolent Force, and Curse of Flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's put numbers on it. What are you thinking, guys?
Well, I mean, I'll go first. Yeah, sure. I'll go first. So, you know, again, I'm not going to penalize the band because of the vocals and the death growl, because that stuff is...
It's very kind and giving of you.
Thank you. Because that is a part of it.
Penalize the band because you don't like that stuff.
But I've come accustomed to it now. I'm getting more used to it. And the band, like I said in the beginning of the podcast, if you can, at times channel that out and listen to the band, they're phenomenal. And because of that, I'm going to score it pretty good because I liked a lot of the songs on this album. So overall for me, it was an 8. It was an easy 8.
Yeah. I'm between an 8.5 and an 8.75, but I'm going to go with 8.75 because I love so many of the things that these guys do. It's progressive. It's really super, super technical. Yeah. It's really fucking well produced. It's clean, even in its filth and in the muck. It's still a super clean recording and everything is very discernible. So huge good production.
Way. Good way to put it, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good way to put it.
And the talent in this band, on all four parts is, you know, these guys are really, really good at what they do. I really enjoy the album and I'm really glad you brought it to the table.
Nice. Very nice.
I did 8.5. Gabe Mangold, you are the man. And, and that's not to take anything. That's not to take anything away from, would you shut up? that's not to take anything away from the rest of the band members. But I think Mr. Mangold is pure gold, man. What a vicious, vicious guitar player. And excited to see where they go. It's going to be awesome.
Perfect word. Absolutely perfect. Vicious. That's exactly what he was.
I saw that Gabe, I don't know where I saw it, somewhere online, InstaFace or, you know, whatever, that Gabe at one point recently built a trailer out with a small mobile recording rig and small amount of living quarters and like towed the fucker out into the desert and just parked it there for months and just sat out there in the middle of the desert with like a solar powered rig and maybe a small generator or something and wrote guitar music. And I thought, oh, I'm so jealous that like the idea of that sounds amazing.
The idea of silence sounds great.
I don't know how much of that stuff, I would assume a good portion of it wound up on this record that Gabe wrote in the desert. But if that's what he did to bring this album around, he needs to spend more time in the desert, man, because I'd like to hear a lot more of this. Though to credit the rest of the band, apparently they all had a fair amount of input on this album. It wasn't just Gabe as the chief songwriter. He may have spearheaded the project, but they all had a say and lent their ideas to it. And it's a great record. Great record.
It's good stuff for sure.
Well, I farted and I had a lot of chili, so it's time to go.
Okay. Does anybody want to
know? You can't sit in your own stew anymore.
It's really bad.
Does anybody want to know the next one that's up?
Apparently we need to get to it quickly so Derek can vacate his own personal space. Well, or at least get to a window.
This is going to be a little bit of a curveball, but it's going to be Bruce Dickinson's new album, The Mandrake Project.
Okay.
Do we know anything as far as who the band is on this?
Tune into the next podcast and we'll have to go over that.
Code 4, he's unprepared. So who's that kid that yelled at us on YouTube?
Do your research before you podcast.
Yeah. Bruce Dickinson, folks, gear up. It's going to be a good one.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. If you're still here, thanks. You know, click the subscribe button and throw the like on and the bells and whistles. Draw your bells.
My own filth.
Just a quick shout out to John's mom, Kate, Six. Thank you guys. Thank you for all your support.
We get to see the whole family coming down. You know, maybe we get to get them on a call with you, Dave. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Get them on. Let's get them on, man. It'd be awesome. You know.
Well, I think we've lost Eric. He's passed out. He can't stand. He may be a goner. There's our thumbnail picture right there. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff, everybody. We'll see you next time.